Father, Lord, we thank you again as we gather together for fellowship this morning. Let your name be glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As our manner is daily, Lord, gathering together for fellowship, as they did in the early church. They continued daily in the apostles' doctrines and in prayers and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. And they did that from house to house. You have given us this platform, Lord, to be able to do this on a daily basis. And we give you the praise. Now, O Lord, as we enter into the word of God today, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, O Lord, to shine our hearts. Give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. And help us, O Lord, to understand our role and the function that you have called us into. To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. We pray. Amen and amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. We returned to the Kingdom series, one of my favorite series, preaching about the Word of God. He's talking about the Kingdom of Heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that we were able to get back here. The Holy Spirit always prompts me every so often to go back and speak on the kingdom messages and the kingdom series. Well, because that was also uppermost in Jesus' heart when he was preaching. We covered some introductory points yesterday of how when Jesus started out, he began to talk about repenting. Calling the people to repentance because the kingdom of heaven, he said, was at hand. And we saw also when he sent out his disciples to preach at the beginning, he also spoke about the, for them to go out and preach the message of the kingdom. And we were trying to dive a little more into what the message of the kingdom is all about. Now, today, this is part two of the kingdom series. We'll be talking about the kingdom of heaven and the church, how they relate together and so forth. Let me cover a few more things as background again before we go into this particular lesson. Remember that from the beginning, in Genesis 1, we see what was in God's mind. When he talked to the man, he said, and even before the man even created the man, he revealed his intention. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the earth. So that was what was in his mind. And when he created and formed the man, male and female, he formed them. Well, he blessed them and he said, well, be fruitful and multiply and subdue. So that was the charge. And that was what was in his mind. Subdue the earth. Bring everything into alignment is what subdue means, and so that was what was in his mind. Well, the book of Psalm 8 also captures something along those lines. So, well, what is man? He said, thou art mindful of him, or even the son of man, that you visited him. And you told us some things concerning what you wanted the man to be, represent. Yes, right. Be a carrier of the image of the Lord, to be also actually God was reproducing himself in man. He said, in our image. And we read later on that Adam also bore a child in his image and so on and so forth. Everybody, so talking about reproducing the next generation in their own image. Well, God reproducing the man in his own image as well. And the question that the psalmist asks is, well, what is this man then? When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, but I crowned him with glory and honor. And you made him to have dominion. See, that's the reason why he made him. He made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. And thou hast put all things under his feet, oxen, sheep, beasts of the field, fowl of the air, and whatever passes through the sea, put under the feet of man. This was the intention. The man will bring everything into alignment. Everything will be subdued. The man would, you know, bring the order of heaven upon the earth. We talked about a kingdom colonizing another territory. You know, how the intention would be for the agents of the kingdom to insert the rule and authority of the king and bring the culture that the king wants into that territory. Yeah, that's how it is. And some of us who are raised in colonies of kingdoms, we saw that I was exactly that. I was raised in a country where we're colonized by the United Kingdom. And we had to learn their language, learn the English language, learn the English culture. They even made us be driving on the same side of the street that they were driving on. You know, you bring the culture of that reigning and ruling kingdom into the territory that they colonized. And everybody, you know, back in the day, was aspiring to go to England. Everybody wanted to go to UK. Back in the day, nobody was even talking about America. You know, nobody was talking about that. 7 decades or more ago, or even beyond that, people were not, you know, they were not talking about America and Nigeria at all. I'm just talking, I want to go to UK. Because that was the kingdom that colonized the place. That was the culture they brought into the place. And that was what people were aspiring to be. We made, you know, those who started to learn the language, those, some of them started to dress in a new way, learn the language, even, you know, and that's it. And some of them who went finally were able to travel to go abroad. They all aspired to go to the United Kingdom, to England. And when they got there, they started to speak funny, like those people as well. You know, so that's a kingdom, you know, colonizing another territory. We've talked about a kingdom must have a king. There is nothing in the kingdom without first the king. As a matter of fact, you can take the word kingdom as being coined from 2 words. King's domain. So the king's domain, kingdom, you know, represents the area and, you know, the places where he asserts his authority and where he rules and where he has dominion. So, for heaven though, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, well, it means also that there is a king and, you know, there's also a territory and heaven may also have colonies. You know, so certain things were already settled in heaven, but heaven reaching out also and grabbing some colonies. Forever, O Lord, Psalm 119, verse 89, your word is already settled in heaven. But let thy word also be settled in the earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy will. You know, this is the will of the king. You know, this is what they do in kingdoms when they colonize. Thy will be asserted, inserted into the earth, you know, and be done in the earth. So that's the will of God being done in earth. God is the king. Yesterday we talked about the rulership of the king as a monarchy and not a democracy. The monarchy, the word of the king is law. That's it. Whatever the king says goes. There's no debate about it. And the citizens of the kingdom, you know, they are not there to be arguing with the king. They do what the king says. One special thing, though, about the kingdom of heaven is the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, unlike some other kingdoms, where only the small royal family is royalty and everybody else are paupers or whatever. In the kingdom of heaven, the citizens are also kings. God has made us kings and priests unto our God. So that's a unique thing. Call us a kingdom of priests. All priests in that kingdom. So God has made us very, very unique in the kingdom of God with these attributes. Now, today, you know, we want to go a little bit, you know, more into what the gospel of the kingdom is and the message of the kingdom, really, and understanding the relationship between the kingdom of heaven and the church. Praise the Lord. Now, don't forget that it is God's intention, and many prophets prophesied it, of how that the kingdom of heaven will rule. Christ will be that ruler. Isaiah talked about it. Daniel talked about it. Micah talked about it. Zechariah, all of them, thy king cometh unto thee riding on an ass's colt. I mean, they all talked about these things, even in the Old Testament. Let's read some of them. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Powerful scripture. You know, talked about Christ. Unto us, a child is born, and unto us, a son is given. We've explained that multiple times. Born as a baby, presented later, you know, when he became a son. And that presentation happened at the water baptism. When John baptized him, came out of the water, heaven presented him. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, but let's read a little further. That's Isaiah 9:6. Let's read, you know, the who he is. He said, well, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government. See, a kingdom is also a government. It's a, you know, system of government, our rules and things, you know, constitution and, you know, how things are done and so on. It's a government. The government shall be upon his shoulder. So he's going to be the one carrying that government. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Make no mistake about it. The Everlasting Father. Make no mistake about it. It's also the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his kingdom. I mean, government. See? Increase of his government as his kingdom. And of his peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. So there will even be a physical. Now, David is a physical man. You know, he has a physical throne or had. You know? And so, you know, this government will move in different ways. It'll have a spiritual component and also have a physical component. And he will reign physically. And he will order it, to establish it with judgment and justice. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Well, he said that. Well, let's read what, you know, yesterday we talked about the kingdom of heaven in the book of Daniel. Before I get there, let me read what Micah said about him. This is the scripture that they searched, you know, when Herod said, well, after the wise man came and said, we've seen the star of the person going to be king. Herod said, go search and tell me where he'll be born, because we want to kill all of them. You know, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, say, for thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, or governor. That's it. whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This was determined from of old, from everlasting, that Jesus will be ruler and governor, not only in heaven, but in Israel also. And more than Israel, that's a little thing for Jesus to be the salvation to Israel only. The Lord said, I will also be my salvation to all the ends of the earth. Bring everybody in. And Jesus said it himself, other sheep I have that are not yet of this fold, them also I must bring into the commonwealth of Israel. And then there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The Lord shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. That's right. And he shall be great unto the ends of the earth. Isn't that a marvelous prophecy? And didn't it happen? Is Jesus not great unto the ends of the earth today? Is everything not about him, literally? Either you are for him or you are against him. It's all about Christ. He'll be, you know, a stone of stumbling, you know, to some, and a rock to others, you know. So, even history named after him. Put a timeline. Say that before Christ or after, you know, Christ is dead and so on. So, BC or AD, which one? It's going to be. It's all about him. He will be great to the ends of the earth. These prophets prophesied about him. And Daniel was bold. He said so many things, you know, and we're going to read some of it. But, you know, let's read also here what Zechariah said in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. You know, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, just and having salvation, lowly and riding on an ass and upon a colt and the foal of an ass. And Jesus fulfilled it when he rose the colt into Jerusalem and said, well, go get me, go over here, get it. And if anybody asks you, tell them the master has need of it. They brought it, he wrote it to fulfill this scripture. So, thy king cometh. Blessed is the one that cometh in the name of the Lord. I already said he will come in the name of the Lord. He shall stand and feed in the name of the Lord his God. All these scriptures were fulfilled in Christ. Now, Daniel, he was bold about the kingdom. He told Nebuchadnezzar that your kingdom and all others who are coming after you will be torn down. You'll be smashed to pieces. Told it to him. He said, look, this kingdom that will arise after all these kingdoms in those days, God will set up another kingdom. It will not be like this one, but it will smash all these other ones. It was very bold, declared. I'll just smash all these ones to pieces. And let's see what Daniel had to say about this kingdom. Once we understand this kingdom, you know, we better have an understanding of our role in it as well. So in the book of Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 to 35, it talked about a stone, the stone that he saw in the vision or the dream that was, you know, cut out, you know, of the heaven. And see, thou sawest till a stone was cut out with our hands. We smote the image upon his feet. Not the head. That's, you know, the kingdom started from the head, shoulders, breast, and so on and so forth, down to the feet. So it's in the days of those kings, but it won't happen in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and so on and so forth. But at the bottom, during the Roman Empire, and even the revived Roman Empire, you know, finally, the stone is going to smash that image, break it together. The iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken into pieces, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away. And there was no place for them anymore. And that stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the earth. Now that's a kingdom. God will set up a kingdom. He said, the Lord has shown you the things, you know, that will happen. Verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Glory to God. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Nobody's coming in to overthrow that kingdom and take it over. No. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. And this new kingdom, the kingdom of God that God himself shall set up, shall stand forever. That's right. For as much therefore as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the silver, and the gold, that great God made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter. This is the dream. It is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. So he told it to him. Very bold. This is what's going to happen. All these systems from you down, all of it. This new kingdom coming to smash it all. Praise God. Now, we expect that to happen. Furthermore, Daniel had some other visions. In Daniel chapter 7, let's read some of the visions that he saw. Read from verse 13. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near. Now, in his role as Son of Man, you know, Jesus is a type of the man whom God put his spirit on in the beginning. And this was what God wanted. Man, you know, we'll read why that's so in a bit, you know. But Jesus came, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's right. That all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the king's domain, that we shall not be destroyed. That's what he said. And listen to verse 27. And this Daniel made a lot of bold predictions. And he said, you know, God was showing him all these kingdoms, one after the other, even down to the ten horns and so on and so forth, you know, and then the judgment shall sit and take away the dominion. And then the kingdom, verse 27. And dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, from the end of heaven to another, everything underneath it, yeah, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's why Jesus, he came in that same form to represent, you know, he being the first fruits and everybody else, you know, in their order. And the man which God intended from the beginning, intended it to be so, it will be so. Finally. That's exactly what God had in mind. And it will be given to them at the end. And the God's kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey the Christ. There's no getting away from it. You say, and Daniel said, here too is the end of the matter. That's it. That's the end of the matter. When it's all said and done, Christ's kingdom will be established, and he will give it to the saints to reign with him. He said, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I'm granted to sit with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3:21. That's when it's all over. So, he said that, and that's the way it's going to be. Now, let's take a look at the relationship between the kingdom of heaven and the church. And when you hear kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, it's all really the same thing. Matthew liked to call it kingdom of heaven. Luke liked to call it kingdom of God. But they're all referring to the same thing. We're going to talk about, you know, what, where God intends this relationship to be at. And we want to make sure that we understand it. Yesterday we talked about the new birth experience being the door into the kingdom. Jesus told Nebuchadnezzar that in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He said it again, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. So we begin to see that the kingdom or the new birth experience is actually the portal or the door, you know, to the kingdom. But now, yesterday we also talked about, well, what happens when you're born into the kingdom? Well, are you just there? No. You have to now discover. A new baby, when they are born, they have to discover life. They have to grow into life. You know, you start out by being a baby, they're born, then they have to grow, and then they discover many things through life. You know, they will not remain a baby all the time. Now, when they are a baby, they don't even know who they are. Paul wrote about that in Galatians chapter 4. You know, said, well, when you are a baby, you know, you may be the prince, you may be the owner of everything, but you don't even know it because you're a baby. So somebody has to teach you. You know, so somebody has to teach the baby. A baby that's born into a kingdom of the king, let's say they were the prince, and they are born into that kingdom, they don't even know that they are the prince. But they are a baby. Yet they are the owner of everything. They're the coming ruler and next in line, but they don't know it. But they are a baby. So the father has to hire instructors, train them, you know, train him in many things, many aspects of the kingdom. While he's growing up, he has to learn. You know, when he begins to get to the point where he can learn, they're going to give him books to read. Going to find out who the allies of the state are and who the enemies are. They're also going to teach him how to fight, how to defend the kingdom. As this Roman, these kingdoms are fighting kingdoms. Maybe they'll hire some martial artists to train him. Get him out of bed early in the morning. Make him run laps. Make him swing. Make him do weights. Make him do all these things, which he doesn't want to do. Rather be sleeping, but say, no, the king said, you got to get up. I get him up, train him hard, doesn't like it, it's painful, yeah, but he's got to be trained. God gave us the law and all many things that we're going through to train us as well, you know, and they keep training him. And it looks at first that these things or people that God, that the king has hired to train the little boy, looks as if they have authority over him at first, because the king said so. And they can actually bully him around. They tell him when to get up. They tell him when to run laps. They tell him, do it again. They keep training him. They have, you know, this commandment they have received of the king, and they can do whatever to the young man. But one day, as they are going through all of that, the young man is going to figure out that he is the prince. I always say that. And the day he figures out that he is the prince, well, that's it. Going to put all those people who have been bullying him, training him, telling him to get out of bed. Well, put him out. I am the prince. He's going to walk to his father and say, I am the prince. I'm not listening to this. I'm not doing this. I say, yeah, that's my boy. Now you're ready. Because now he's being trained. And it's going to take over the king and put him through a lot of training. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. And the scripture cannot be broken. Can't do it. You know, but the earth he has given to the children of man. So the children of man, they are going to reign on the earth. You know, they're not going to reign exactly in heaven, but they are going to reign on the earth. Now, some people understand this and some people don't understand it, but that's the way it is. That's what God said in the scriptures, and the scriptures cannot be broken. You know, let's read some of these things that was said in the book of Revelation, you know, chapter 1. It said, God has made us kings and priests unto God. Jesus made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory forevermore. Revelation 1, chapter 6. Then you jump to Revelation 5. After that, the Lamb took the book. Everything in heaven began to fall down. When he had taken the book, they fell down. They Every one of them, they sang a new song. Said, "Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals, for thou hast redeemed us unto God out of every blood, I mean, by thy blood out of every kingdom, tongue, people, nations. And thou hast made unto us, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests." And then what happens? Where is the domain of these kings and priests? "And we shall reign on the earth." That's it. You know, these people were in heaven at that time, but they are still thinking of reigning on the earth. That's where they're going to reign. They're not reigning in heaven. You know, they're reigning on the earth. And even while they're on earth, if they can figure it out, they can even reign in life by Jesus Christ. Romans talks about that. You know, Paul talks about in Ephesians that we are currently seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principality and powers. Well, what's Christ doing there? He's reigning. And he must reign until all his enemies be put under his footstool, all of them, including death, which is the last enemy. He must do that. So, you know, and after everything is put under his feet, then he will turn the reign, you know, I mean, turn the kingdom to the Father, and to the sons of the Father who reign with him. That's right, you know. And he will be all in all, you know, all in all. This is it. Shall I put everything come to pass? The saying that said, death is swallowed up in victory. We'll finish everything. This is the global picture or eternal picture. But pieces of it that we must understand now is how kingdom of heaven and the church relate together. You know, that will be today's lesson. Praise God. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, it says, and it talks about, you know, for the church, you know, the things that we must go through and build up, you know, the knowledge of God. Say, besides all these, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We start with faith, we add virtue. This is the church now. And then you add knowledge, then you add temperance, then you add patience, you add godliness, you add all these things, brotherly kindness, you add charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, say, therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never, two things. Now, if you do these things, you know, from the time of your faith, you add all these things. You're always building. You're never taking away. Spiritual maturity demands that we add, not take away. You can't say now I'm learning mysteries and yet you forget the basic things of the scriptures, like love your evil enemies, forgive, all these things. You know, no, you have to add, never take away. You know, you got to keep adding. Well, if you do these things, well, you shall never fall. And so, you say, for so an entrance, this is where I'm going, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of an entrance abundantly? You either enter or you don't enter. The abundant part is the discovery. You know, many people enter, but they've discovered nothing. It's like they're not even there. They don't even know the things that are freely given them of God. You know, so we must discover these things. And we must discover the role, the function of the church and the things that are given unto us. Now, even while we are here on the earth right now, we are already seated with Christ in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already there, you know, but does not quite yet appear where we shall be, because we don't have the proper training and the proper understanding. But in this lesson and series, we will attempt to do that. So, that's a complete background of all the things that we will be talking about. But let's go now more specifically. I want to talk about the kingdom of heaven and the church. Let's talk about the church. What were the things that Jesus said about the church? And what were the things that Jesus said about the kingdom? I submit that Jesus mentioned the church in the Gospels. The church was mentioned only three times. Some people may not know that. Only three times. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, after Peter gave that marvelous answer when Jesus said, "Who am I?" and all of that, and Jesus said, "Wow, this thing was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock," this revelation, not Peter, "upon this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He talked about the church there. Then he talked about the church in Matthew 18, when he was teaching forgiveness and relationship, with one another. Your brother sins against you or does something, aggravates you or whatever, go and tell him your fault between him and you. And if he listens, you gain your brother. If he doesn't listen, well, take one or two other people with you. And so forth. That at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. And if he still doesn't listen, then tell it to the church. And if he still doesn't listen to the church, well, then he will be like an unbeliever. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Those are the only places that Jesus talked about or used the word church in all of his teachings. They're the only places. However, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus talked about the kingdom. There are 117 mentions of the kingdom, whereas there's only three mentions of the church. The kingdom, Jesus was always talking about it. Parables of the kingdom, they're everywhere. Matthew chapter 13, tons and tons of it. Matthew chapter 20, more parables there. Matthew chapter 22, more parables there. Matthew chapter 25, more parables there. Mark chapter 4, more parables there. Luke chapter 19, more parables of the kingdom. They captured so many references and so many teachings of Christ about the kingdom. Why did Jesus spend so much time talking about the kingdom versus the time he spoke talking about the church? Your answer, you tell me. What's your answer for that? The difference is this. The message of Jesus was focused on the kingdom, not the church. That's right. You heard it. The message of Jesus was focused on the kingdom of heaven. That's what it was. When he started out, the first things he said, repent. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 23. He went out and he said, from that time, Jesus started to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wasn't talking about the church there. The kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 23, going to all the villages, preaching the kingdom of heaven, sent out his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. Go and preach the kingdom. On and on and on. And then he began to talk about these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Many, 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 many times. Count it yourself. And see the difference. Well, the difference is this. And the reason for the difference is this. We need to focus even on the kingdom. What is it? What is the meaning? What's the message of the kingdom? Why was Jesus always talking about it? Why did Jesus even during his prayer that, you know, pattern that he taught the people? They said, teach us to pray. Well, he said, I'll give you a template. He didn't say you should repeat those words, but he said, you should pray like this. After this pattern, do this. Give glory to God. Do this, do that. You know, when you talk about give glory to God, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth. The next thing out of his mouth, as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come. I'm talking about kingdom. You know, still, even in his prayer pattern that he taught the disciples, it's all about the kingdom. You know, now, let me make some bold statements here. The good news is really about the kingdom of God. Because all we know in this world is the kingdoms of this world. That's all we know. And Jesus came to introduce or reintroduce the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, which has been forgotten. That was Adam's job, you know, but somehow, you know, I lost track of it. And Jesus, when he came, I was his focus. Said the kingdom of God, you know, is like a man, you know, a king. He went to get himself a kingdom, you know, and he wants to deliver it. When shall I deliver everything back to the Father? Establish all rule and authority. Put it all down. You know, it was all about the kingdom. Now, the good news is really about the kingdom. You know, so, you know, let's unpack, you know, some of the things that are in the Gospels and in even in the epistles, and let's relate them together. When Jesus was talking about, you know, all authority given to the church, he actually did say that. He said, it's given to me and I give it to you also. He said, you know, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And heaven will sanction what you do. Because you are in alignment with heaven. And heaven will also sanction what heaven has commissioned you to do. When you're doing it that way. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Talking to one person. Peter, and then some people say, yeah, I say, wow, the Catholic religion say, well, Peter was given the keys. but, you know, you got to read the entire scriptures. So whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Well, you know, Jesus said the same. Well, he did say it to Peter. There's no question there. But he also said it to everybody. In Matthew chapter 18, he actually said it to everybody. He said, and again, you know, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree in heaven, talking to two of them. But before I read that one, let me read verse 18, Matthew 18, 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye, that's now plural, ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed. That's the same thing he said to Peter. But now he said it to all of them too. Plural, you know, and so forth. So what he said there, and also in Mark 16 and 15, when he sent them out, you know, and showed and told them, you know, what to do. You know, go you into all the world. He said, preach the gospel, every creature, you know, and so forth. Give them commandment. The power to do these things, you know, to heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, you know, cast out devils, do all these things. Power. In Luke chapter 10, when he sent them out, you know, while he was still with them, you know, sent them on a practice run, told them, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, Luke 10 and 19, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means touch you. Now, this power is given to the church. as long as the church is in Christ, you know, and they have this power. Now, I correlate that to Romans chapter 8. You know, we read in verse 19 to about, say, verse 23 or so. You know, this is, you know, what the earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for, the manifestation of the sons of God. We talk about that all the time. The creature itself made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered unto the from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know now that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our body, and so on and so forth, you know. And this is, you know, when they get into, this is the good news of the kingdom. Kingdom says that, the kingdom message says that even creatures, creation will be delivered. And there's something that's going to come and bring liberty to everyone. Jesus said, I come to set you free from sin. If the Son of Man shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. And that's the message of the kingdom. You know, even creation, all the corruption that entered the world through sin. Before the disobedience of Adam, everything was in alignment, but not quite everything. Everything was in alignment in his local vicinity only, around the Garden of Eden and so forth. He was protected there, kind of. Well, eventually he would go out, colonize all the earth, but before he would go out, he lost it. By the time he went out, or was sent out of the garden, he didn't have that authority anymore. But the Lord was training him in a small, protected environment, had authority over the animals, whatever he said. There were no wild beasts. There were no poisonous plants. There was none of that stuff. Everything was beautiful that the Lord made in his time. You know, but then later on, and at that time, they looked to Adam and they were enlightened. There was this aura that was oozing out of Adam. It was called the glory of God. Put everything in alignment. Even if he didn't speak, everything was in alignment. Everything was in their best behavior. Adam, something that was in Adam brought the best out of everything else. But when he lost it, everything looked to Adam. They couldn't get direction. Then they started to misbehave. Yeah. Anarchy set in. Everything just started to. Animals became wild. Plants became poisonous. Everything just become anyhow. You know. And then God showed that, look, in the restoration, God can bring this thing back. He showed that to us in Noah. When Noah himself started to walk with God, God showed us that again. He said, look, what Adam have, you can have. You can have dominion over all these animals. By that time, all the animals were wild. It was amazing. They were all wild. But Noah had dominion. You know, God brought all the animals, the wild ones and the mild ones, they were all together. And Noah gave them commandment what to do. They auditioned before him. He selected and told the others to go back, and they listened. The ones that he selected said, sit behind that corner. No growling, no barking, no yelling. You know, don't make all the little chicken afraid. You stay over there. And they all, everything just behaved. Show that dominion. That's a message of the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, you know, when it comes to fully bear, you know, the kingdom will reign. Overall, thine is that kingdom and that power, and thou art exalted as head above all. You know, both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power, in thy hand is might. You know, these things will be in his power, and he deliver it, you know, to whosoever he wills. That's right. And he said, I will grant unto you the same power over the nations. He that overcometh, I will power over the nation, rule them with a rod of iron, sit with me on my throne. Well, that's coming in his physical kingdom. At this moment, it's spiritual. Yeah. Now, the church is the agency that is supposed to bring these things in gradually. Jesus came and introduced it. Even Jesus himself did not bring in the fullness of the kingdom. He talked about it, introduced it, taught people to look forward to it, taught his disciples to carry on the message. But at that time, he didn't establish it. He told Pilate, well, my kingdom is not of this world, which means it wasn't established yet in the world, but it will be. Fast forward to Revelation 11 and 15. All the kingdoms of this world will now become, at some point, the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign. That's coming. But we're not quite there yet. What should the church be doing then? You know, well, carrying on the message of Jesus. Now, let's talk about that a little more. The goal of the church, we talked about that yesterday. The primary function of the church is not for us to sit around a way to go to heaven. The role of the church is to make earth look like heaven. You heard it. You can take that as a punchline. The goal of the church is not to go to heaven. It is to make earth look like heaven. That's what God told Adam in the beginning. Make the earth look like heaven. Colonize the earth. Bring my will to bear on the earth. Jesus said, pray the same thing. Let his will be done in the earth. I said, it's already done in heaven. You know, God needs you here now, doing this thing, making God's will to be done on the earth now. Bring the earth into alignment. That's the church. Jesus taught it to them in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Pray that his kingdom come and that his will be done. Establish the will of the king in the colony. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. And we read how Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 15. We read that yesterday. Jesus prayed, said, the Father, not to take the church out of the world. I pray not that you take them out of the world, that you preserve them. They have a role to play. And our role here is to colonize the earth, make it look like heaven. That's right. And then, you know, you're introducing it to the people. They see something that the kingdoms of this world cannot provide. Now, the message of salvation, we talked about this yesterday, that the church has been preaching. It's a good message. The message of the new birth. It's a perfect message. Because you must be born again. That's perfect. However, it doesn't go far enough. That's the thing. It stops at salvation. You know? And salvation is the entrance into the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. But when you enter in the kingdom, then what? You know? So, there must be further things. Now, during the time of Jesus, you know, all his thinking and sometimes his preaching are contrary to the religious culture of his day. Yeah, just like some of these messages that we are teaching now is contrary to the church message. You know, some people will not like this because why are you saying that we're not supposed to go to heaven? I never said that. I said your goal after you become a believer and born again is not primarily to go to heaven. If it is, you will go to heaven right after you are saved. There will be no need for you to stay here. But Jesus prayed the opposite. Don't take them away. Keep them here. Preserve them. They have a role. As my Father has sent me, so send I. He can't send us if he grabbed us away as soon as we are saved. How can he send us? So, you know, that's it. Now, this is contrary to the culture of the church where we're preaching that, you know, all we have to do is go to heaven. No, we will go to heaven when the time is right. But even when you go to heaven, you're still coming back to the earth. God, we shall reign on the earth. That's what the Bible says. People have to understand these things. Now, Jesus liked to just do things that his father did. Didn't care about all the things, you know, the traditions of men. You know, when he healed people on the Sabbath, when he saw people that needed healing, whether it was in the Sabbath day or not, it didn't matter. He just did it anyway. And, you know, and how can you heal on the Sabbath day and even in the temple of all places or the synagogue or whatever? How can you do these things? In Luke chapter 13, came out against him and said, we're doing these things, you know. In Luke chapter 5, he did it. In John chapter 9, it seemed like if you're always healing these people on the Sabbath day, you know. And everybody was angry. All the leaders were angry. It was against their culture, you know. I mean, Mark chapter 2, the disciples were plucking corn on the Sabbath day. Jesus didn't stop them. Jesus didn't tell them to do it. They were doing it, but Jesus didn't stop them either. Jesus knew the law, that it was contrary, but he didn't stop them. He said, look, a greater than the temple and all these things is here. You know, they had culture that Jesus just dismissed, like talking to a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse 27. I think culture of the Jews. Jesus talked to her anyway. It was the culture of the Jews to condemn people that they found in adultery. In John chapter 8, verses 10 to 11, they brought a woman that was found in adultery. He said, Moses told us to stone her. What say you? Jesus did the opposite. Set the woman free. However, I told her, go and sin no more. You know, so the preaching and ministry of Jesus was not necessarily in alignment with the culture of his day. That's all I'm trying to say. It was contrary, you know. And so the message of the kingdom is not necessarily going to be in alignment with the culture and the message that the church has been preaching. It will be if the message of the church is in alignment. But it is the church that needs to be in alignment. Because that's the role. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Preach the message I ask you to preach. Then you are my friends. Go and preach about the kingdom. Then you are my friends. You know, and Jesus himself, believe it or not, most of the time he was preaching about the kingdom rather than preaching that people should give their life to Christ. Himself, you know, was preaching about the kingdom. Now, he already knew that the sacrifice of himself was the way he was going to ransom. He said, in John chapter 6, he said, you know, the ransom that I will give for the world is my life, my flesh that I will give for the life of the world. He knew he had to do that. You know, he knew that. But he didn't spend all his time talking about that. He knew it was something he had to do. But what was the reason he was doing it? Well, the reason he was doing it is to get us back to the kingdom. And that's why he was always speaking about the kingdom. Because that's what God wanted in the first place. There would have been no need for Jesus to die for anybody's sins if Adam would have stayed aligned with the purpose of God and not have disobeyed. But God knew he was going to do it. That's why the Lamb was slain before the world began. But there was more than what Jesus came to do was more than dying on the cross. That was a critical part of it. If he did not die on the cross, we could never get the kingdom back. That was a ransom. The devil hijacked it. And there was a high price. In fact, he told Jesus to his face, all these things are mine. You bow down and I will give them to you. I mean, he was bold. I mean, that devil, my goodness. I told Jesus to his face. And Jesus didn't argue, but he knew how he's going to get it back. The way to get it back is going to pay the ransom. It's a heavy ransom to pay. And he paid it. Gave his life for it. Now we got it back. You know, he said, now I got the keys of hell and death. He went to hell, death everywhere. Whooped the devil. Got the keys of hell and death. Got victory over everything. Now, devil has no more say. He's been dethroned now. He's been defeated. He's been disgraced. He's been disarmed. He has nothing left. You know, but the church must be the enforcers of this victory that Jesus already purchased for us. We are the enforcers. Praise God. You know, just like you have some law enforcement authority, well, the church should be the law enforcement, the spiritual in the kingdom here, the spiritual kingdom. Eventually, even in the physical kingdom, there will be Revelation 12 and 5. And Jesus said, you know, he that overcometh shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. They will do it physically later on, but now we do it spiritually speaking. Second Corinthians tells you that, you know, the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through God, with the pulling down of strongholds. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Casting down imaginations. The church can do that even now, spiritually speaking. You know, spiritually speaking, we can do that. Physically speaking, not yet. You cannot physically overthrow these physical kingdoms today. You can't do it because it's not time, you know, but spiritually speaking, you can weaken them spiritually. The church can do that. We have the power to do it, you know, but God has a plan for everything. And when the right time comes, then physically those kingdoms will crumble. They can't crumble just yet. Praise God, you know, but it's coming. Bringing everything into captivity right now. You can bring thoughts, you can bring things, you can do through prayers, you can accomplish many things spiritually speaking. But our own obedience must first be fulfilled in order for us to avenge all other disobedience. Praise God. The church, powerful like that. Powerful, you know. But let's compare and contrast what the church is doing today versus to what they should be doing. You know, when I say church, I don't mean everybody. I'm just talking of generality. I'm talking in general terms. You know, the word church as we know is, you know, everybody that knows the Greek knows that the word is taken from ecclesia, you know, and in the English word, English language, you get ecclesiology from that. Well, ecclesiology is a study on the nature and the structure of that church. Ecclesia means the called out ones, the church. The problem, though, is that over the years, the church, we have become church-minded, whereas we should be kingdom-minded. Let's talk about church-minded versus kingdom-minded. Church-minded says and thinks, come to church. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to church. I go to church. I'm a pastor myself. You know, so now, the kingdom-minded thinks, go into the world, the marketplace. You know, that's right. Jesus said, you know, go out into the world, in the marketplace. The scripture also says, do not forsake the assembly. And so we're not saying don't go to church, but just think of the mindedness. Church mindedness is narrow minded. You know, we reduced ministry to church boundaries. You know, if you can come to church, then we think that, you know, it's all good. You know, we can't see past church boundaries times. And you know, once people get into ministry in the church, they think that's it. So you become an usher, a greeter, you know, work in the children's ministry, you do this, you do that, you know, and that's all good. And we must do that. But that's not the kingdom message. Kingdom minded people that think outside the box, you know, when we teach someone about Jesus Christ and you're kingdom minded, it's not going to matter whether they come to your church or you send them to the church across the street. If the church across the street is more suitable for them, or maybe they speak that person's language better than you do at your church. You send them to the church across the street. That's kingdom mindedness. Now, church mindedness say, no, you must come to church where I go to church. You know, because, you know, we got to fill up the numbers in our church. So that's church mindedness. You know, so, but kingdom mindedness, no, they want to heal the wounds in their neighborhood. They want to go out, change the lives of people in their workplace, their community. They affect the fatherless and all these things. You know, that's kingdom mindedness. They're out there in the marketplace. Now, we can bring them to church and we should bring them to church, but it doesn't have to be your church that they go to. The church mindedness is they got to come to my church. You know, think of even the kingdom versus church in how churches collaborate or not. There may be several churches on the same street, maybe even opposite each other. But when one church is doing one thing, will the other church come there and support it? Absolutely not. They'll go do their own program as well. Sometimes they even set their own program at the same time that the other church is setting their program. So we're all competing for the same group of people. Church mindedness, that's how it functions. Kingdom mindedness, on the other hand, say, yeah, let's close our service. Let's go to over there. That's kingdom. But we don't see that today. What we see is church mindedness. The kingdom mindedness is to spread the gospel and the good news about kingdom life. On the other hand, church mindedness, we're spreading the good news about afterlife. This is the church message. When you die today, where are you going to go to? Are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? You know, I always talking about after you die. What about now? You know, so kingdom message is about life in God and with God, both now and forever, not just after, you know. So there's a gap in the church message. Gap is, you know, what do you do now? Instead of if you die, you know, where will you be? It should be when you wake up tomorrow. What will you be doing for the king? See, that's it. You know, that the kingdom is about both now in the spiritual kingdom and later. See, but let's not, it's not all about later. If I can't even do now, why should I be worrying about later? I remember when I was a young man, one of the things that I used my faith to challenge myself was that, look, because people are always telling me about, you know, when you get to heaven, when you get to heaven, when you get to heaven. And I was like, no. If God can't take me care of me now, why should I believe that he will take care of me somewhere else when I get to heaven? So I started challenging myself, like, look, I got to believe for that now. This will encourage me to know that he can do it in the future as well. You know, now, right now, today, God can take care of me right here, right now. You know, so that's a, you know, the difference also. Church-minded will tend to think about everything under their roof and the organization of their church. You know, we do meetings, activities, and all this. We tell people come to church. When they come to church, we feel fulfilled. See, whether we are winning souls or not, as long as we come to church, we hang out with our friends, we do church things, then we feel fulfilled. That church-mindedness, kingdom-mindedness, no, they're not fulfilled. Just as we're coming to church, they have to go out there. They're thinking outside the church box. That's kingdom-mindedness. They want to win souls to their kingdom. And winning souls is for the kingdom, not for my church. It's for the kingdom. Jesus is king over the kingdom. And we are bringing people to their king, not to my local church only. You know, so there's a difference between the kingdom-mindedness and church-mindedness in those days. You know, activities that we do in church, people think that that fulfills their calling. If I join the choir, if I do this or the praise team or do that, you know, then I'm good. You know, No. The kingdom-mindedness will say that your calling is not limited within the walls of the church, but you are commanded to go wherever people are. That's why when we're talking about fishing and fishers of men, we talk cover those things. The kingdom needs to influence the people everywhere, you know, to see Jesus as king. That's it. Not only people in the church, people everywhere. That's what the kingdom does. Bring the influence and culture of the reigning and the ruling kingdom to bear on the colony. And kingdom citizens must do that. We'll get to ambassadors later on. Now, the church and their kingdom are closely related, but not identical. The church is, in a sense, a subset of the kingdom. The church is not the kingdom. The church is part of the kingdom, but not the kingdom. The church is the agency of the kingdom to bring everlasting righteousness and to bring the culture of the kingdom to the world. But you can see the difference. You cannot think of the church as a kingdom. When we're speaking of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, we are referring to the reign of God in this world and the reign of righteousness. Remember, the scepter of thy throne, that's the culture of your throne. The symbol of your throne, the culture, is a culture of righteousness. And the church must do that. And that's a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It will never end. Jesus, the King, will sit on the throne forever. Now, the activities, you know, of the church, yeah, that's part of the kingdom. But you cannot squeeze the kingdom into the church. The church is within the kingdom, but not the other way around. So we got to open up our minds, get out of the church box into the kingdom. It's another punchline. Does that mean don't go to church? Absolutely not. We go to church, you know, but when we finish with the church, we go out into the world to do kingdom function. It doesn't end at the church. Most people, when they go to church, they come back next Sunday, go to church again, and that's it. And even that by itself is actually wrong. You know, even that thinking is wrong. It's faulty. We don't go to church because we are the church. So even that, you know, mentality of I'm going to church, it's even wrong. Technically speaking, it's wrong. You know, the church doesn't go to church. The church is the church. Now, we may meet in a building for fellowship, but it doesn't mean we're going to church. You know, we are the church already. We can't go to church, but we're already the church. Now, the kingdom of God, ironically though, you know, this is where people get confused. And a question was even asked in the room yesterday, you know. Ironically, the kingdom of God is both, you know, in reality, it's present and also future. Now, some part of it is present today, you know, and some part of it is future still. The spiritual part is present. The physical part will be future still. And at some point, the physical part in Revelation 11:15, which Daniel and all these people prophesied about, will take place. Kingdoms of this world will physically become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. But today, we are challenging church folks to think outside the box. Go to church, as we say, using the language that everybody knows. Or meet for fellowship, which is actually a better language. But, I mean, when you're there, exhort one another and challenge one another to go out into the marketplace. That's it. If we're not doing that, then that's not complete. You know, Jesus has gathered his disciples and was training them. You can think of disciples like being at church with Jesus. But Jesus wasn't satisfied with them just being at church with him, quote unquote. He sent them out. He said, go out there two by two and do this and do that and so on. Send them out, send them out, send them out. You know, because that was their practice. And when he was leaving, he sent them out as well. You know, he didn't say that you should just remain in one place. Remain until you be endued with power from on high. But once that power comes, then go out. That's it. You know, go out. Now, do we mean that then when we go out, we never come back into the church building for fellowship? Of course not. We do come back. You know, Hebrews 10 and 25 tells us not to forsake assembly of ourselves as a matter of some is. So we're not teaching that today, and let nobody say, he said, don't go to church. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that, you know, church attendance is not, you know, the focus of the kingdom message. The kingdom message is for the kingdom of God to grow, must grow. Now, we don't necessarily grow the kingdom by rotating people from one church to another. And people get disgruntled with this church, then they go to another church, and the other church is recruiting members of one church to come to their church. That's not growing the kingdom. They're just recycling the same people. You know, you grow the kingdom by going out and winning souls, catching fresh fish. Now, when they are caught, yes, we build them up. And the Bible says the ministry, work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ and so forth. We build up those who are in. We know that. But we got to get new people come on in. Cycling them from one church to another is not, does not grow the, if we started out with say 100, one church had 100 and another had 80, two local churches, so total of 180, just to give you an example. One day from church A, five people get disgruntled, then they leave and they go to church B. It's still 180 people, folks. Because this one now has 95 people and the other, you know, now have, you know, 85. So it still adds up to 180. We haven't increased the kingdom just because you left one church and you went to another. We've not increased the kingdom. Increase the kingdom by going out there and bringing in the sheaves, the new believers. Hallelujah. Not just moving from one church to another. And those people that do move from one church to another, the reason they do it, they get dissatisfied with one church. Or they say, this church is not perfect, and I'm looking to, for another church. And I say to them, well, that church that you just arrived at became imperfect the day you got there. They might have been perfect before, but the moment you get there with your imperfections, because you've got this narrow focus, and all you were seeing in the church where you came from was their imperfection. Well, when you get to this other place, you'll be seeing the same imperfection. Everything will look imperfect to you, you know. So be a part of the solution. You know, what do you see? People are always, all they see is, you know, what's wrong. That's all they see. Now, those people that are around, or those creatures that are around the glory of God all the time, they don't see all the evil. They are in a different dimension. You read Isaiah chapter 6 again. You know, the seraphims that were saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of the glory of God. The whole earth was not full of the glory of God. The whole earth was wicked. You know, they were wicked. And there was wickedness everywhere. But yet, in their own dimension, all they saw was the glory of God. The same thing in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 11. When they went, they came back, the alerters, the patrollers. They said, well, where are you coming from? So we've gone up and down the earth. Well, give your report now. So the whole earth is at rest and full of glory of God. No, but that's what they saw. See, now if all you see, we talked about revival. If all you see is all the stuff that's wrong, then you need revival. You know, the church that's revived, the only thing that you'll be seeing that is wrong is yourself. You only be seeing what's wrong in yourself. Remove the log from your own eye. You only be seeing, I need to be revived. I need to repent. I need to turn from my wicked way. Not the church, not this, not that. You, when everybody gets back to the Lord for the Lord to fix them individually, then everybody else is fixed. Try to fix all the other person. No. So that's the problem with the church, though. When we get disgruntled with one church, we leave, we find another place. We've not solved anything. Praise God. You know, and, you know, if God has called you into anything at all, you know that that doesn't work. You know, Jesus talked about the hireling shepherd. You know, he said, well, the hireling shepherd will flee when he see the wolf coming. Why does he flee? Well, he flees because the wolf, the sheep are not his own. So he leaves them. The wolf will catch them, scatter them, and so forth, tear them. And the hireling escapes for his life. Well, the good shepherd will stay right there and fight for the sheep. Glory to God. That's right. You know, so leaving for the wolf to scatter the flock is not the solution. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so that's how it worked. You know, one day I'll go and tell you this personal testimony just to be vulnerable, and I'll close this lesson. One day, I was in this local house fellowship that we had here in the city that I'm living in, and there were some things happening that I did not like. You know, so I just thought, well, enough of this already. I mean, you know, I've dealt with this thing in the 70s, 80s. I'm not going to deal with this thing now again. No, enough of that. I don't have time for this. So I said in my heart, I'm not going there anymore. It was a local church fellowship. It was a local house fellowship that we had then. So one day I went out for a walk. I was thinking in my heart, well, I don't think I'm going to that fellowship. They're just carrying on with this nonsense. Maybe one or two people doing that. And then right there, I tell you the truth, I lie not. Holy Spirit was in my face. I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, you just leave and let the wolf come in and scatter the sheep. Well, because you are not the shepherd. That's why you're leaving. Acting like a hireling shepherd. Oh, my goodness. I'd never heard any rebuke so strong in my life. I'm telling the truth. I went back. I was on a walk. I finished that walk quickly. I went back home. I fell on my face before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I repent. The solution is not to leave the place. You leave because you are a hireling. So I repented. I went back. And then I fought for the flock. You know, and I chased the evil out of there. You know, so, you know, that's how you do it. You can't just leave and go someplace else and think that's a solution. No, can't do it. That's not going to work. Praise the Lord. So that's the role of the church. Is we are there in this world to spread the message of their kingdom, not the message of their church. You know, every church, even the Holy Spirit himself, when he comes, he doesn't speak of himself. He speaks of Christ, let alone us. So if we're going out there, you shouldn't be preaching about your church. You should be preaching about Christ. That's it. Preach Christ. Get the people to Christ. Get them into the kingdom. Hallelujah. You may invite them to your church. That's good. But if they can't come to your church, then send them someplace else to another church that's preaching the kingdom. Because it's all about the kingdom when it's all said and done. We are all working for the same king, you know, and we cannot be fighting against each other. You know, we're working for the same master. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for our lesson today. Many things yet to be said about the role that the church will play. Next time I want to talk more about you know, the church as ambassadors for Christ. ambassadors for the kingdom. What it really looks like. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to leave it there for today. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening. Father, I thank you. I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory, the challenge that has gone forward for us to expand our vision from the tunnel vision of the church to a more global kingdom vision, to think outside the box and see Jesus as King over all. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that our roles and our duties as individuals and the church will become clearer and clearer to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The reason why we receive the Holy Ghost and we're saved and receive the Holy Ghost and we are still here, make that reason clear to us, O Lord. We've got a role in expanding the culture of heaven upon the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you help us to be lights. Say that you shine as lights in this crooked world. That people will see your good works and begin to give glory to your Father is in heaven. Let our good works invite people to Christ and invite people to the kingdom. To God be the glory. We pray that you strengthen our local churches as well. That we will be strengthened with power and might in the inner man. To focus on kingdom work and not just sectarianism and denominationalism and all this stuff, but to focus on working for the kingdom. Because a house that is divided against itself cannot last. To God be the glory. I give you all the praise. Lord, I give you all the glory. Thank you for this understanding that we received today. We're empowered, yes, as kingdom citizens, work for the master. Hallelujah. And we know that our labor shall not be in vain. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's lesson number 2 in Kingdom Series. Today, we've looked at expanding the vision of the church to beyond the church, but out into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. But God is the one that will be adding. Don't worry about it. He will add to the church. But thereby adding, he's also adding to the kingdom. To God be the glory. Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. That's my lesson for today. I'm done, and I'm going to yield my mic here. Praise the Lord. If you react to this, God bless you. If you have some addition, God bless you as well. Even if you have a question, I can try to clarify. God be the glory. Praise God.
Thank you so much, sir. Mommy, after you. Thank you, ma'am.
Go ahead, sister. Mr. Titilaya, go ahead.
Thank
please.
You, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. We are so grateful and so thankful. Thank you so, so much. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you represent in our midst. We are grateful. There were so many songs that came to mind as we were ministering. Appreciating the Lord God Almighty. It is about His kingdom indeed. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing this song to the Lord to bless His name, to appreciate Him. And your kingdom shall know no end, Lord Jesus, and your glory shall know no bound. For the majesty and power, and this kingdom king has come. And your kingdom reign, Lord Jesus, and your kingdom rule, Lord Jesus, and your kingdom power and authority. Our Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. And your kingdom shall know no end, Lord. And your glory shall know no bound. For the majesty and power and our kingdom's king has come. Lord, and your kingdom rule, Lord, and your kingdom reign, Lord, and your kingdom power and authority. Our Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. The King of our kingdom has come. Thank you, gracious Redeemer. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. Therefore, we superimpose your kingdom above all the kingdoms of the earth, above all the kingdoms of the United Kingdom, above the kingdoms of this earth put together. We superimpose your kingdom above them all. Father, we appreciate you, Lord God Almighty, for giving us this understanding, my God, that is all about your kingdom. We thank you that we, your church, we are just part of this kingdom. We are not the kingdom, but your kingdom. Will be established forever, oh God, in Jesus' name, God. Thank you for giving us this enlightenment, for this understanding, and we walk in the power of your revealed word. Thank you so very much, oh God. Thank you, Father, for every single one of us that are part of this kingdom. Wherever it is we are in the whole globe, we appreciate you because you know us by the number. You are the first fruit, God. And because you are holy, we, your church too, we are holy. Father, we thank you that we will stand in our responsibilities, God. We will continue to walk with you. We continue to follow you. You are worth following, my God. You are worth following. We thank you so, gracious Redeemer. We appreciate you, God Almighty. Thank you so much for all that you have done, all that you have revealed to us. Thank you for giving us this understanding. We are grateful. We are eternally very grateful to you, Lord Jesus Christ, oh God. Thank you for debunking all the things that we were holding to before. Thank you, Father, for correcting us, oh God, my God. Your word is pure water indeed, washing us clean, Marazotaha. Because you are looking for the church that is without spot or wrinkle or any spot, my God. Father, we are thankful. We are grateful. We will appreciate you for being our first fruit. We appreciate you because of what it is you have done. Glory to your name forever. Thank you, gracious Lord, for this platform. Thank you for giving us this hidden manner. Thank you, Father, for all you've done for us, oh God. Thank you so very much, sweet Holy Spirit of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's so powerful what God has done today. What God is doing, what God has been doing for we, His church. Thank you so very much. I'm grateful. I am so, so grateful to the Almighty God for His church, for calling us. We are the ecclesia, the church, the call out. Call out once. We are so grateful. And thank you for increasing your church, Lord. You are building your church by yourself. I can build it. None of us can build it. But you, Lord, you are building us, building Jerusalem. The Lord is building Jerusalem. The Lord is building Jerusalem. You are gathering together the outcasts of Israel. You are gathering us to yourself. Unto you, unto Shiloh comes, unto you shall the gathering of we, your people, be. Baba, we are grateful. We are so thankful, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just have one thing or two to share regarding today's ministration. This is powerful, sir. Thank you so much. We can't hear this in Yajasara. We can't hear it in BBC News. We can't even hear it CNN. But here we are. Eating the hidden manna, eating the fresh meats. This is in due season. You kept the word of God is always new. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, but every day your word is so new. You're just bringing so many dimensions into it, giving us an understanding heart to comprehend what it is, what we are to be doing. So we pray for the gap. Our Lord, you will build the gap between what it is we are doing currently as your church and what we ought to be doing. Because even the children of Issachar knew the time, and they knew that they knew what the Israel ought to be doing. Baba, we too will know what we ought to be doing as your church in your kingdom to build your kingdom. It's about you, because your kingdom supersedes them all. Thank you, because you are the stone that was cut with the hand, destroying that image, hallelujah, and establishing your kingdom finally, Karazotaha. And this kingdom shall not be destroyed, and it shall not be given to any other but you. And we are the children of the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Ha. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Ha. We are already the part of the kingdom. We are already in the part of, we are in the kingdom. We are already part of this kingdom. Come on. Come on, everybody. That is the, Ron Connelly's, one of his powerful songs that he sang when he was still on this planet. I heard about he has gone to his reward. We thank God for that man of God. He did so mighty in the body of Christ. We say thank God. So thank you so much, sir. I'm so grateful, and I'm eternally very grateful for this understanding that God has done again, has given unto us, has quickened us again to know that we are the church. In fact, in our platform here in Liverpool, when I'm writing, that's a nudge in my spirit. You just confirm it, sir. Now, why would I say, inviting people to church? I'm like, this is just a building. This is a building. This is not who we are. And I thank you for what it is that we ought to say, let's meet for fellowship. We are this church. The church is not the four corners of the world. It isn't. We individually, we are the church of God. We've been bought with a price. We are not of our own. We are his precious possession. We have been redeemed out of men. We have been redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Therefore, we, the redeemed of the Lord, has come. We're singing, and everlasting joy is upon our heads. We have obtained gladness and joy and sorrow and mourning and poverty and sickness and failure and death has fled away because we are the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And the redeemment of this world has no dominion over us. Bible says there shall be no dominion of darkness upon us. Baba, we thank you for who we are in you. Our identity is revealed in knowing you, in knowing that which you have done. We have found ourselves. We have seen ourselves that we are not ordinary. Because if the first fruit is holy, we even the lump thereof is holy. You are holy, our first fruit, and we are your lump. And we are holy as you are. And we represent you here as an ambassador, made in heaven, assembled here on earth. We take position, Maro Sataha. We take position in Jesus. We cannot be silenced. We will continue to declare your glory. We will continue to declare your name. We will continue to exalt you in every nook and cranny of this earth. We will continue to lift your kingdom up above all the kingdoms of the earth. In the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, O God Almighty. We are grateful. We are thankful. Rejoice. We rejoice in your finished work. We rejoice in that which you have done for us, your church. We rejoice because your church has come out of obscurity. We rejoice because you are with us, your church. In the name of Jesus. And a little one of us shall become a thousand, and a little one of us shall become like a nation. In the name of Jesus, the nation of Jesus Christ. A peculiar nation. A royal priesthood. Royalty flows in our blood. We thank you so very much, God, because of who we are and who you have made us to be and who you are to us. We're thankful, we're grateful in Jesus' name, and I yield my mic. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, sister Titulai. A powerful, powerful share. God bless you. Thank you for even the excitement in your voice about the things of God. It's so contagious. Praise the Lord. Well, you gave your summary, and even in your prayer, I could determine and read that Lord is speaking to us, helping us to realign our thoughts correctly. We thank you for those shares. Indeed, we will meet for fellowship, continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayers. We do meet for fellowship, but we are the church. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Titulai, for sharing. God bless your heart. Anyone else want to share any of their thoughts today?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for these teachings. Thank you for your mercy towards us. We are grateful. Pastor Yato, we appreciate you for taking us through, what you both brought in these 2 days. Some we have been learning for, it took us years to learn these things. From Adam, where God put him there, to extend the frontiers of the kingdom, and Satan did not want him because Satan has been thrown down. Satan did not want man to take his place, and Satan, how Satan came and deceived man, and how now we have been redeemed. We are now the church. We are to continue the work that God called us to do. How you have reminded us, you have taught us, those that have not known, those that have had it before and forgotten, you have now reminded us that we are the called out ones. That scripture that say, how shall they hear if there are no preacher, if there's nobody sent? And you made us understand that we are the sent ones. We are not waiting for the apostles. You know that gift, he said the gift to some apostles, prophets, pastor, teacher, and all those, the five ministerial gifts. No, that we are the one that will go out and tell the people. You are reminding us about kingdom mindedness, the marketplace, not church mindedness. You have separated the two now. You know, some people, I remember one time I was talking about evangelism, and when we witnessed, one of our pastors was not happy. He said, no, when you witness, you must bring them to church. If you don't bring them to our church, then you have not done anything. I just laughed. You know, but you have explained to every one of us now that kingdom mindedness is different from church mindedness, and we are supposed to be kingdom mindedness. So I really thank and appreciate you for this great message you are explaining to us, teaching us, and making us to understand. So I have a song. That song says, "Take me back." That's what you have just done. Take me back again. Take me back to Holy Ghost revival, Lord. Take me back again to the Pentecostal days. Let me hear the brothers shouting. Let me hear the sisters pray and the little children singing of the Pentecostal days. So again, take us back again. Take us back to Holy Ghost revival, Lord. Take us back, we pray, to the Pentecostal days. That's what you have just reminded us. I'm so happy. I'm really glad. I enjoyed the message. Thank you. God bless you. Bless the ministry. God bless, strengthen you. Thank you for all you do for us. God, we're going to be your strength and grace in Jesus' name. Thank you all for listening, and I know we are all blessed. We all have something to say. Hallelujah. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Felicia, for your share. You know, when you were singing and Sister Titila was singing, it's like, my goodness, I mean, all these songs that people are singing, I don't even know them. But they blessed my heart. They were good, good songs. They were spiritual songs. You know, the Bible says that we should use spiritual songs to admonish one another. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Felicia, and God bless you too, for your participation in these rooms and your shares whenever you get a chance. To God be the glory. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Good morning, everyone. This is Renita. I apologize for entering late. But just looking at the title of your message, The Kingdom of Heaven and the Church, helping us to understand the difference and yet the similarities between the two, the divine relationship, that is, because one of the greatest truths we as believers have and need to understand is that the kingdom of heaven and the church are not the same thing, though they are inseparably connected, that is. And Jesus preached the kingdom. He established the church. And he's returning for his church to reign with him in his kingdom. And so, as was stated, that is in Matthew 4:17, by the prophet John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And upon this rock I will build my church, and as Jesus spoke, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. So we notice something really interesting here, and that is that Jesus said he would build his church, but he would give the church the keys to his kingdom. And so the church is entrusted with a kingdom, with kingdom authority. So what is the kingdom of heaven exactly? Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God is God's sovereign rule and reign, and it is wherever God's will is obeyed and his authority is acknowledged. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom is not primarily a building or a denomination or an organization, but as you know, Paul wrote and we're taught in Romans, well, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So where righteousness reigns, where peace governs, where the Holy Spirit is welcome, there is the kingdom manifested. And then as to the church is the community, which we are people who belong to Christ. And the word church, ecclesia, means the called out assembly. So the church is not merely a building. It is God's redeemed people who gather to worship as we do here in this room, to learn the word, to serve one another, to proclaim the gospel and demonstrate God's love to the world. And it's also written in Ephesians, I believe it is, that the church is the body of Christ with Christ himself as the head. So the relationship between the kingdom and the church, as I indicated earlier, is not the kingdom, but it is the primary instrument, the channel through which God advances his kingdom on earth. So we can, you know, kind of think of it in the way of the kingdom is God's government, but the church is God's embassy. And Christ is the king, and believers, as believers, we are ambassadors. So we are citizens of heaven while here living on the earth, and we are serving faithfully where God has placed us. And Jesus preached the kingdom throughout his earthly ministry. He continually preached about the kingdom. He spoke of the kingdom growing like a mustard seed, the kingdom being like leaven working through dough, the kingdom being a priceless treasure, the kingdom requiring childlike faith. So everything Jesus did pointed people toward living under God's reign. And our mission, the mission of the church, has been entrusted with several kingdom assignments, and that is to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples, to heal the sick, to care for the poor, to demonstrate God's love, to walk in holiness, to prepare people for Christ's return. So the church exists not simply to gather on Sundays or any other day of the week, but to reveal the reality of God's kingdom every day. And living as kingdom people, we live differently because we serve a different king. Therefore, we choose love over hatred. We choose forgiveness over revenge. We choose humility even over pride. We choose holiness over compromise. We choose faith over fear. And we choose service over self-promotion. And Jesus, I'll close with this, instructed us to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So our first pursuit is not success, is not possessions or recognition, but our first pursuit is the king and his kingdom. And so I thank you, Pastor. The church is called to reflect the values of the kingdom until the king returns. So that is our assignment, and that is who we are. And I yield my mic.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Anita. You captured it so beautifully. And even some of the things that we would be talking about in the upcoming citizens and ambassadors in the kingdom, you captured it as well. And I love this statement that you put out there. It just is so concise and captures it all. Jesus preached the kingdom, established his church, and is coming again to take his church to reign with him in his kingdom. Beautiful statement. So thank you so much for the share. And, you know, yeah, that's really it. And you also talked about, you know, all the things that the church is supposed to be doing, you know, demonstrate, you know, the character of the kingdom. and the kingdom, the care that the kingdom gives over its citizens. You know, so these are some of the, you know, we talked about similarities and also the differences, you know, between the kingdom and the church. So thank you, Sister Renita, for sharing that. That was good. Very good. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. We are right at the top of the hour. We have about 15 minutes to go.
Okay. Let me quickly take the chance. Good afternoon, sir. And I really want to thank you for the teaching. Indeed, I mean it. For so long that God has given me this grace to minister, to go out, minister to people, talk to them. You know, it has always bothered me that, which church do they attend? I don't even ask them. I never asked any. Would you like me to recommend a church? I've always thought I was not doing it right. But the few times I've tried it, people will say, oh, I have my own church. I'll say, okay, continue. Make sure you have a relationship with Jesus. Make sure you love Jesus. You respect his word. You honor the word of God. I always say that. But honestly, it wasn't until this afternoon that I really got to understand that my duty is not to go and call them to any church or my local assembly. I have always called them to Jesus, but I have always felt I wasn't doing it. You know, I wasn't completing the job. I was thinking it was important. I followed them up. There are some that you even want to follow up. One of the days, a woman stopped us and said she was lamenting, Shah, don't let me go into the story. So we stayed, we prayed with her and everything. And then when we left, I told Mama, I said, Mommy, it's like we should have collected her number and her address and all that. So I turned back and went to meet her. Madam, would you like me to follow you up? And she said, no, don't worry. I have my church. You know, so I understood with her and I left. And up till this afternoon, I'd always felt there was something missing that I needed to know which church they attend. I'd always felt like that. But this afternoon, I got the answer my heart has always craved. That, Lord, it wasn't my duty to lead them to any church. I know I've led them to Christ. God bless you, sir. I'm really very grateful. I got this answer. Thank you very much, sir. The Lord bless you, man. Put his word more in your heart so that you have the right utterance to continue to lead us in this kingdom journey. God bless you. I yield my mic, sir. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Joke. And I want to encourage you to continue. I mean, in fact, from the day that you arrived on this platform, you have always shared your story and your testimonies of, you know, the passion and the burden that God put in your heart for souls every day, you know, doing that. So that's a great thing. That's worthy of emulation for you to continue in that. Provokes others to good works. So continue doing that. And, you know, no matter where we are in life, no matter what we know and what we are preaching, we can gain something, you know. That's why I always like to hear others, you know. I know I'm a preacher and teacher, but I also like to hear someone else say something because I know I can gain something from them. You know, Apollos, we're told, was a, you know, mighty man of the scriptures. I mean, was an eloquent speaker. He convinced the Jews mightily with the scriptures, but all he knew was the baptism of John. You know, but he was great in it. When Aquila and Priscilla now met him, brought him into their house, were told they instructed him more perfectly on this way. And then he, whatever he gained from them, he used it even more. And this is a great lesson. You know, sometimes I like to just sit back, listen to others, and just learn something from them. Because, and you know, some of the lessons, you know, that I myself teach, some of them come direct from God. Most of it does. But others are triggered by something I heard, a word. I mean, hear a word that somebody says. Then I go and dig deep, and then the Lord takes it and expands all of that. You know, so yes, you've been thinking of one thing. The Lord gave you some insight into it a different way. You know, so praise God for that. But you're doing a good job. Keep on doing it. Praise God. And I pray that many of us will also step up and take the gospel to our communities and the people. God be the glory. Thank you so much for sharing. Praise the Lord. All right, I think we may have time for one more share. Okay, I will do a quick room reset then. Thank everybody for joining. You know, you could be anywhere. You could be doing anything. And some of you are even doing something and yet listening in. Yeah, and that's the beauty of this this app. You're listening as a drop-in audio. And just listening, even while you are doing other things. So we thank God for that grace and the ability to do that. But we thank you for joining every day, the fellowship that goes on here and walking with God. And as the Lord enables us, we will continue to meet for fellowship. Pray for us, just like Paul said. And I thank many of you for your prayers that you always offer. Yeah. My wife, especially, is always praying for me. Said, as he opens his mouth, fill it with good things. I love that prayer. Well, I pray that as I open my mouth, the Lord will fill it with good things. And I pray that the Lord will help all of us. When you open your mouth as well, the Lord will fill it with good things. What your share will be a blessing. And the Lord will also help us to open our hearts. And lately, I've been asking people, after the opening prayer in the room, I've been asking people to just pray, prepare your heart for the word of the Lord. One day like that, the Lord asked me to do that. And then I've been asking people to do that since then. You know, just ask people to pray and let their hearts be open, prepare their hearts to hear the word of the Lord. You know, so when we come in these rooms, that's what we should be doing. That's our posture. That's what our posture should be. Prepare our heart. Hear the word of the Lord. And what we hear and understand, we must also share. That's what Paul told Timothy. Say, be careful, to put these things before faithful men. And take your time. Share it to others that will also share it to others. So when we receive, in fact, that's how knowledge increases. If you are just taking it in and not sharing it, pretty soon we become like a lake. God doesn't want it to be a lake. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. God wants us to be like a river. Streams that issue forth from that river will make glad other members of the house of God, will bring blessings. So what you're hearing, you are sharing. That's the way it goes. You know, that's the way the Lord's always taught me. And I love to learn and, assimilate it and then share. But we ourselves who are teachers of the word or sharers must learn the same thing first that we are teaching. The things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, Ezra 7 and 10, and to do it. And then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So we thank God for our daily fellowship. To God be the glory. Well, guess what? We got some exciting news to share with you. I did post some photos from Brother Patrick on his traditional wedding. So posted that, and his wedding is going to be this Sunday. So you keep him in your prayers for that. He said this Sunday, July 25th. So let's keep him in our prayers for that. That Lord will bless that young new family and they'll find fulfillment together in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord will also meet their needs. Supply all their needs in Jesus' name. I have a prayer that I will raise also for Paul. Paul that we have been praying for, Paul from the Tukudo family. We thank God for what God did and brought him out thus far, but he's got to go back in. Today is actually pre-trial, and then later on they will set the trial date. So I want to take a prayer for that. The good news out of all of that is he's out now, so thank God for that. And we believe that he will not go back in. Praise God. He's out and he will be out. The case must be decided in his favor eventually. That's where we must assert our authority spiritually in prayer. And we're going to do that in a minute. But first, let me tell you about the book launch that is coming this Saturday. The book itself, Kingdom-Focused Marriage. See, even the marriages can focus, have focus on kingdom. Can you believe it? We've been talking about the kingdom-focused church. Now we're talking about a kingdom-focused marriage. So that book will be available to you on Amazon. The day that marks our 50th anniversary, Lady Eva and I. So she chose to release the book. The book has been written, and you know, but she chose to release it on that day. So, and then the Zoom meeting, which is the launching of it, will be the next day, actually, because we have some family activities on that particular day. So Saturday, July, wait, is this Saturday or Sunday? I forget. See, no, it is Saturday, July 25th. I think I wrote when I was writing on Patrick's wedding. I might have said Sunday. But anyway, you know, this book launch will be on Saturday, July 25th. But the book itself will be available on Amazon July 24th. But we want you to come to the book launch. Praise God. So that's been announced in Zoom. You can find the information on our WhatsApp platform. And then don't forget, we're also constantly reminding everybody to be praying about our September to Remember event that's coming up in September. But right now, I want to switch gears for a moment before we leave. Paul actually does have a pre-trial hearing today. And then later on, they will set the hearing date. So I want us to take prayer for that. I want to, first of all, thank many of you who have been supporting his case, both by prayers and physically and even financially. God be the glory. None of you will lose your reward in Jesus' name. Family has been through a lot. It's not over yet, but we believe God will give us the victory. So let's open our mouth and take some prayer here for you.
Okay, we are law enforcer. Baba, thank you so much for that which we have done already. We appreciate you. We call upon you in our distress. You heard us, O God. You've given us answer of peace. We have come with a grateful heart, O God, knowing that you have begun this good work, my God. You will pass it on to peace. All the two good doors, you have been set free and you have been given. You are not going back there anymore.
Let the blood of Jesus fight your battle. Let the name of Jesus give you victory. Let the word of God be spoken in truth and reality. And let there be a turnaround from quickly for permanent deliverance for you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, for your name's sake. Remember the good mother of good people.
Yes, our God is great. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, even that have eternal consequences, bundled them together and nailed it to the cross, took them away. How much less this handwriting of ordinances that's against Paul. The Lord will banish them completely. The Lord who overthrew the counsel of Ahithophel, he will do the same thing. The Lord will deliver us, Paul and us, from this wicked generation. The law enforcement are supposed to protect and to serve. Sometimes they are the ones that actually brutalize and manufacture evidence that, you know, falsify and hide the truth and all that. And all that will be exposed. God himself will fight, said, I will contend those that contend with you and I will save your children. The Lord will give the victory. To God be the glory. Anyway, this case must be dismissed and at the end of it, must be released. He will not go back in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for hearing us. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Even favor today as they go for pre-trial and then later as they go in for the actual trial date. Praise the Lord. Thank you everyone for your prayers. We appreciate it. Continue to hold up the Tukudo family in the prayers. We will have the victory when it's all said and done in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for joining our room today. We are closing in just a bit. We're preparing to go to the prophetic scroll room later on. So I want to close. Lady Ebon, are you there? Any other words that you want to say before we close, or announcement, or close out in prayer? All right. Maybe she's not there. I'll just close the room. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of us, both now and forever. And surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Good morning and good afternoon. God bless everybody.
And, thank you so much. Thank you. I was getting ready for the next room. Sorry. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Matt. There was a question in the platform, ma'am. Is someone joined us for the first time, Mrs. Elizabeth? She's asking a question here. She said, this question, it's been long and over 20 years. Please change to Kingdom Matters. God bless you. That's what she wrote.
Let me see. I don't understand that question.
The last thing on the platform, sir.
Yeah, let me check. No, I don't know what that question is, but we'll just leave it like that. I don't see a question. Change to Kingdom Matters. I mean, I'm not sure what she's asking us to do. But we've been talking about Kingdom Matters for, you know, the room went for about 90 minutes already. And in the last of the room, we're just talking about prayer for this and that. So, we encourage people to listen to the whole lesson. I'm not sure I understand the question, but listen to the whole lesson, listen to replays. You want to hear Kingdom Matters? That's what we've been talking about. We'll be talking about some more of it tomorrow as well. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all. To God be the glory. See you tomorrow by the grace of God. Thank you, Sister Titilayo. Praise the Lord. Room is closing in 3, 2, and 1.